This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who's listened to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello, here we are again. Series 3, episode 3 of Over the Influence. Thank you for joining us. Bonjour. Welcome. I'll explain why I'm talking in Frenglish in just a moment. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am co-host of this wonderful alcohol-free podcast. I think I'm around now 960 days-ish alcohol-free. Started a 90-day challenge 960 days ago, and it is just bloody wonderful, and it's just a joy and a privilege to share all this nonsense with you on this podcast. I don't do this by myself. My co-host in the future is Freddie Bennett. Bonjour, Freddie.
Bonjour, Sharon Hartley. Où est la bibliothèque?
Oh my God.
Hello, everybody. My name is Freddie Bennett. I'm so excited to be here today. I am super, super excited to talk to our awe-inspiring, inspirational guest who you're going to find out more about shortly. I am 39 years old, scarily enough, over 2 years alcohol-free. Life used to look very different for me, being a work hard, play hard party boy who knew nothing but what a nightclub dance floor looked like at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I stopped drinking, changed my life, broke some world records, did some running things, and then moved 12,000 miles into the future. And I'm calling to you. That's my future computer voice. Speaking to you live from quite rainy, to be honest, New Zealand.
Oh, merci, Freddie. Merci mucho. Now we've got producer background Ben. I need to sort of we need to make allowances for Ben today. He's got man flu and he's tres poorly. Ben, how are you first of all?
Not very well, Shaz. Have I mentioned it yet?
Only about 72 times, and it is starting to wear a little bit thin.
I know. I feel really ill, and the only thing that's making me better is telling people that I'm feeling ill.
I have got a lot of sympathy for you, Ben.
I think as a man,
I think you need all that sympathy. If you need an arm around the shoulder, you take it easy today.
You're
Ben.
Pathetic.
Don't push yourself
Freddie.
Too hard.
Pathetic.
Thanks, Freddie.
Can I just say as well, Ben? We are recording this now over Zoom. You've got a face like a well-slapped arse.
I can't help it. I've tried all day to be happy and jovial and I can't even speak. I'm not going to speak in this episode.
Even so.
Although I would like to say, c'est un jour fantastique parce que nous avons un invité brillant aujourd'hui.
What a show off.
That's A-level French right there. That was a long time ago, but I just pulled that from somewhere. We do have a brilliant guest on the podcast today.
We do. Before we talk to our brilliant guest, Ben, people ask me this all the time. Can you just please let us know where you're up to in your sober journey?
9 months and something. Nine and Amazing. A half months, I think.
Amazing. Yeah. Right. I know you're ill and I know you're feeling a bit miserable, but that is flipping brilliant. Isn't it brilliant?
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Brilliant. Right. Everything's just brilliant. I need to stop saying brilliant. It's embarrassing. Moving on. Let's welcome our guest to the podcast. And there is a reason why we are talking in this pathetic attempt at the French language. Our next guest. You see, I was going to try and insult you in French, but I can't. I can't think of anything. Let me guess. Yeah, please.
How British can you be, by the way? Just sat here trying to really badly speak some French and in terrible accents. Is it? I am ashamed. I do apologise, Joe. Like, I like to think I bring a bit of culture to this podcast. And I don't know what it is, but it's certainly a little je ne sais quoi. And it's...
March 2, March 2!
It's just a little something, but I can't put my finger on it. And I apologise.
Right,
I will try and keep
this.
The quality and the class level high because you are here, Joe. Have
You're
no
doing
fear.
A sterling job already. Congratulations.
You just heard from Joe there. Let's welcome Joe. Now, I would need to know, Joe, how do you pronounce your surname? Joe Waldock or Joe Waldock?
It depends on who you ask. I say Waldock, like a wall with a duck
Waldock.
On it. But my mum's decided that it's Waldock, like fairly recently, I think. So every time we're in each other's company and somebody asks us for our surname, we have a bit of a like very passive aggressive fight about it. But yeah, I say Waldock, like a duck on a wall.
Right, fantastic. Joe Waldock, who happens to be in France. Welcome to Over the Influence. It's a delight to have you here. Welcome to our crazy podcast.
Thank you very much. Yeah, none of you look sober, which is wonderful.
It'll only go downhill from this point forward, Joe. I want you to introduce yourself and explain to our listener who you are. But just let me begin by saying it's a really special day for you today, isn't it? You're 18, that's 1-8 months sober. First of all, big up yourself.
Get
in.
Thanks a lot.
Trey Bian.
Trey Bian. What a way to spend it with us three.
I literally couldn't think of a better way. Yeah, no, it's...
This is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it, Joe? It really is.
See you again in 6 months, please.
So we want you to do the talking, Joe. We want you to tell us all about you. When we talk about sobriety on the podcast and people giving up drinking for whatever reason, a lot of the time we find, a bit like us three, people sort of stumble into it. No, not one of us set out to become completely alcohol-free. Yeah. You know, we just thought we would do a few days and then a few days more and hit a target, we'll say, of 90 days, and then it went on from there. And, you know, you hear of people's sobriety surprises and of how life has changed for the better and how, you know, amazing this journey is. And in the main, it absolutely is. Safe to say, your journey has been, well, life changing doesn't really seem to cut it. Just where do we start, Joe? Where do we start? I want you to take over.
I thought it was quite mundane, really, rather run-of-the-mill.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no. No, it hasn't been. I mean, I was a typical expat pisshead, really. I mean, expat, like, integrated, but surrounded myself with people who wanted to drink and smoke as much as I did here in Lyon. And before I was in Lyon, I was in Paris. And I was a teacher. I was teaching lots and working, partying a lot. And then, you know, the wine crept in to not always partying and just, it's Thursday and oh, now it's Tuesday and oh, now it's Monday. And okay, all right, we're just drinking a bottle of wine every night now, aren't we? I ended up getting very close to burning out with the teaching, took some time off, retrained as a coach, as a life coach and business coach. Didn't intend to get sober at all. But when I was starting my new coaching business, I'd heard that sobriety gives you more energy and motivation. And so I was like, all right, fine, I guess I'll do a little month. I'll take a month off and, you know, try and give this business a boost. And it didn't work on the business at all during that first month. I was like full-time sober person. That was it. That was my occupation for the first month, literally. And just fell in love with like with the community, the place where I found you guys, and with all of the learning that gets to be done with it and the growing and stuff. And yeah, when was it? It was a are we just going to go into the trans story?
Just go into it. Absolutely.
So I started, it was in October 2019 that I stopped drinking the 20th. And over the Christmas holidays, I stayed in Lyon. I didn't go back to the UK. I can't really remember why. And I went, brain fart. I was hanging out with some people that I didn't really know, and mostly women over that Christmas. And one of them was like, "What's your name?" And I told her, and she was like, "Is that a boy's name or a girl's name?" And I was like, "It's a boy's name. Shut up. I'm a boy." Yeah. And then the next day, it was actually Christmas Day, the 25th, and somebody was on the community sober support group online, pissed, and started messaging me, and was like, "What are you? Like, are you?" And he used a word that we don't use to, you know, designate trans people. And I was like, "Oh, we don't use that word. We don't use that word. I don't really want to continue this conversation." And he said, "What word do we use?" So I was like, "Transgender." And he said, "Okay, are you transgender then?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, shit." Like, I can remember conversations at uni years and years and years ago. Drunk, 5 o'clock in the morning conversations saying, like, "I'll deal with that. You know, the trans question, I'll deal with that at some point in the future, but not now." But this is the first time that somebody had asked me directly and I was sober and couldn't just get pissed and hide or like fudge the conversation. Wow. And so I was like, "Yeah, shit." Like, yeah, I am. And that was kind of the biggest test of my sobriety, because like my habit in the past had always been, let's just avoid this uncomfortable question and get pissed, right? Because if you can be drunk, then you don't have to think about those hard things.
And is that why you drank, Joe?
I mean, it's certainly one of the reasons why I drank. Yeah. And also, you know, it was like growing up, it was just what you do. It was what you do to, like, as somebody who's navigated quite a lot of anxiety in my life, like, drinking always promises to get rid of the anxiety in the moment, and so yeah, that was definitely a part of it. I mean, I don't want to say, like, you know, I drank too much because I was trans, but yeah, I'm sure it definitely had an effect.
We talk a lot about sitting with feelings and feeling everything during sobriety.
Yes.
I mean, where to start? I just find your story just utterly incredible and really, really inspiring. And you know, having watched a lot of your journey, Joe, it's breathtaking.
Oh, I love.
I totally agree, Joe. I think it's amazing to hear from yourself. Obviously, as Shazza says, I've you know, you and me talk and have some banter, as I believe the kids say these days. Yes. on social media and everything. I think to hear from yourself though, in terms of that journey, it is amazing. And as someone who struggled with anxiety in the past as well, I could only imagine, and I can imagine to some extent, what kind of like a whirlpool, like a tornado of thoughts is going through your head in those early days when you've got the whole drink or not drink, and then the wider anxiety about who am I, what am I on this planet for, do I like that person I see in the mirror every morning, who is that person I see in the mirror, and it's all kind of put together in this melting pot. And I'm gonna get to my question eventually, but it. How did you find it in those first early days when you're struggling with this anxiety, and then you've got the whole, well, I guess I shouldn't be drinking wine at the moment either, and it's, how did you cope with it?
weirdly, I can remember going back to some of my earlier posts. I can remember that the anxiety that I was feeling, like I was feeling it on a, you know, like background level anxiety every day was probably a 6 or a 7 out of 10. And I think within the first couple of weeks, it went down. I mean, afterwards, after the Christmas, like trans realization, it went back up again. And then, you know, people started to die and the whole pandemic and everything else. Like, so it has increased again since then. But my baseline anxiety dropped from a 6 or 7 to a 1 or a 2, like within the first week or two, just from removing the alcohol.
You touched on that, Joe, as well. Aside from the Christmas Day transgender question, you've navigated family loss, you've navigated the global pandemic, you've been affected by COVID, you've had a whole ton of shit going on, safe to say.
Yes.
And yet here you are talking to us with the shiniest skin, a smile on your face, wonderful sober hair, you're still nailing sober life, so there must be something about it that works for you, Joe.
Dry shampoo. Dry shampoo
number one. I didn't mean just the hair then. I was getting deep.
I was going to say, Jada, with obviously the transgender journey that you spoke about and that you've been on, and you know, we had Michael on at the start of series 2, and he was talking about his journey with coming out and drinking heavily, and if I can remember, I'm sure I'm going to butcher his words, but he was saying something like, you know, the communities he was involved with, it was very much focused around drinking, and you had to be going out and getting drunk, and whilst he was trying to come to terms with who he was and everything else as well, and he was drinking because of that. And how have you found it in that transgender journey? Have you found that there's support there for you? Have you found that there's safe spaces, you know, in terms of being able to be in a place where you, a place both physically and metaphorically where where you can be comfortable with not drinking?
So it's all been really tied up with the pandemic, of course, because I had like 2 months and I quit smoking as well. So it's a heavy smoker, but thank you very much.
Me too. It's rubbish, isn't it? Sorry, I mean, it's really good because smoking's really bad for your health and you shouldn't do it. But I miss smoking more than I miss drinking. Anyway, sorry. Sunday, back to you.
How long has it been for you?
5-6 weeks.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Right. Amazing.
It is super amazing. Don't go back to it. You'll feel so different in another 6 weeks. I promise. Okay.
I think what you could hear from Ben in the background is what we call the lighthouse effect, where you can really hear the sober positivity shining from his voice.
Have I mentioned I'm not feeling very well today? Sorry. I've just completely taken us off track there with my misery again.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Joe was...
I think that's asking quite a serious question there.
Yes. Yeah,
Safe spaces.
Yeah. Mentally and physically, that was it.
Yes, and so because it has all been so tied in with, like, tied up with the pandemic stuff, because I'd quit, stopped drinking towards the end of October, then quit smoking the 1st of December, and was kind of miserable, a bit like Ben, for a while. And just, like, hiding away from the real world, like, because I'd done a really good job of surrounding myself with pissheads and smokers. And then I was like, shit, now what do I do? Where are all of those boring people that don't drink or smoke? Because I want them to be my friends now.
Hello, here we are.
I know, but you're all in the bloody UK, or you were in the UK. And so it's like, it has definitely been hard to find, you know, to find community, to find transgender community here in Leon, and to find like sober community. It's something... like community as a less so as a physical space, like online has been, you know, useful, very useful, but I don't, you know, bit by bit, I will try and, you know, dive deeper into finding that community here, because it is important to have a like people that you can touch.
Yeah. I mean, talking
community, nudge, wink, wink.
It is massively important to have those spaces in those communities.
How did the smokers and drinkers react when you went, you know what, I'm just going to change things for a bit?
disbelief for a few of them. Yeah, there was definitely disbelief. So already, like, my life had changed. So I moved from Paris to Lyon in 2015. So, I mean, I had 4 years of, like, building a small community here of drinkers. But it was already smaller than it had been in Paris. And, yeah, I just kind of... I definitely pulled away from them because I'd had so many evenings where it had been, you know, let's not drink tonight. Oh, somebody brought a spare bottle of wine just in case. And it was always me, right? I was always the one that brought the spare bottle of wine. And was like, we've already not drunk for 20 minutes. It's fine. We're not alcoholics. Dick. We can open it now. And so I knew that I needed to trust myself before I could, you know, trust them. And I think, I mean, I know you've talked about this before, Shaz, that you were often the instigator in your group, I think.
Oh, massively. I mean, same as you. When I said I was, you know, going to quit alcohol, people were like, well, you'll probably not get through the first weekend. And I'm like, well, just hold my wine. Yes. Watch me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's the worst thing you can say to me is that I don't think you can do something. But yeah, Joe, I was the drunken daycare. Mm-hmm. I think I was... in many cases now, looking back, only invited out because I was that person. It was, I think it was a shock, still is for some people, that I've still not gone back. I'm not going to have just the one.
Yes. But
so for me, and this is about you, Joe, but just to give you a bit of context, and I know Freddie's the same and Ben's the same, what we've all adored is making sober friends because, you know, for the record, people that choose not to drink aren't boring tossers that I have learnt myself. They are
who knew?
Who knew? There is a wonderful community of wonderful people out there and connection is key. Mm-hmm. So we've only had to find a sober community to connect with.
Yeah.
And through this as well, through this podcast. But yourself, Joe, not only have you had to navigate a sober community, you've also had to find a transgender community.
Yeah.
And it's two really massive things, isn't it? I say side by side, they're interlinked. And I've just done that thing with my fingers like Ricky Gervais does. Interlinked.
I just think it must have... because obviously the French have a kind of... probably a healthy scepticism of the English anyway. But someone who's English that doesn't drink, it must just absolutely blow their minds.
I think... yeah, I think it does. I mean, the cafes and bars have been shut down... have been shut here for almost a year, more or less. Like, they opened up very briefly over the summer. But it's been they've been shut for a really long time. But when I have been into, like, French bars, I mean, the first time I went up to Paris, it was within the first month, I think. And I went to a friend's 40th birthday party in a punk bar, and I did the thing that you're supposed to do. I called them up in advance and I was like, hello, do you have any alcohol-free drinks? And they said, we've got orange juice. You then? I said, like, this is a week before it was happening, and I was like, I was stressed about it because it was the partner of a friend, and I don't know any of his, you know, his friends, and they're all clever and French and bleh. And so I was already going to be stressed, so I needed to have some alcohol-free beer there. And I asked them if they could get me any, and they said no. So I was like, all right, well, fine, fuck you. So I smuggled my own in, like, in a big bag, and it. France, in terms of vegetarianism, kind of feels like the UK in the 1970s. And I think it's pretty similar in terms of, like, alcohol-free stuff in bars and cafes. Like, you know, you'll be lucky if you get a tourtel twist, which doesn't taste very nice. But in the supermarkets, you can find stuff. So that's...
because I've mentioned before we started recording, my friend Katie lives out in France.
Yes.
And she said that you wouldn't... where she lives, I mean, she does live rural Toulouse, mm-hmm. so she really is in the sticks. But she said you'd have no chance. You wouldn't be able to have an alcohol-free beer out here. Like, you would, like, in England now, it's like, you know, the supermarkets are pretty well stocked.
Mm-hmm.
But even, I think, pretty much every bar you go into, like, I don't think there is, I think it'd be odd if they didn't have an alcohol-free option now. Yeah. But that's just not the same on the continent, is it? It's just, like, no. it must be so, like, I would find it more difficult if I couldn't go to my favourite pub and order an alcohol-free option, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that it would be the same for me if, like, I'm sure that the pandemic has helped me in, you know, in some ways, and has helped a lot of us, and obviously hindered and, like, ruined a lot of things as well. But it has made some things easier. Like, God, if I was still drinking and smoking as much as I was during this lockdown, like, I would almost certainly be dead. I'd have no money. I wouldn't have seen my friends anymore because I'd have just, you know, been pissed all the time and smoking and stressed. So,
hello, it's Ben from Over the Influence, just taking a quick break from this episode to let you know that we've got merch. Yes, we're a podcast with merchandise. We've got t-shirts, we've got Over the Influence mugs. So if you want to rep OTI and of course support us and our mission here by buying something, then please go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. We ship all across the world. We send stuff to Australia, we send stuff to America, we send stuff to Birmingham, like literally everywhere. So look, please do have a look, overtheinfluence.co.uk. We'd really appreciate your support. Right, back to this week's episode. You yes. said earlier mm. that the reason for your drinking, there were many reasons why mm-hmm. you drank alcohol, but something you said online recently, and look, please forgive and correct any ignorance that comes up here, because I don't mean to not know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you said that my transness and my sobriety is interlinked.
Ooh, someone's been doing their research.
Well, Shaz did the research. And she said,
I did the research, ready. Yeah.
but I think that's really interesting because, as I say, please correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
but the kind of definition of transgender is that your identity and your sense of your own gender does not match with the gender that you were assigned at birth. Is that right?
Very, very well said. Yes.
In terms of then, how is your... Because if it wasn't the reason... No, that's not the only reason that you drank, because mm-hmm. you are a transgender person, but you're a person with stresses, with anything else that goes on in life. Yeah. Why is your transness and sobriety interlinked?
It's for me, it's all to do with truth. It's to do with truth. It's to do with knowing, like, what's real and what's right. And I think if I was still drinking, it would be easier for me to, you know, carry on saying, and I don't really want to say this because she might actually listen to it, but, like, I always used to say, I'll deal with that question, the trans question, when my mum's dead, because I didn't want to put her through it. But now that I'm not drinking, now that I'm not hiding in that fog, I can't ignore it. Like, I just can't. So that's where sobriety, you know, in terms of clarity, in terms of opening up my eyes and stuff. It's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so that's why I say that they're interlinked.
You know, it's so interesting. The word clarity is exactly what I was going to say, because I feel like that. I feel like that's one of the things since I've stopped drinking that I do. I think about situations differently. Like, I actually, like the mechanics of my brain are different to how they were before.
Because is it not terrifying, though? I just find it so terrifying, the clarity sometimes.
Are you asking me or Ben or both?
Anybody that will answer me. Anybody. No, I mean, yeah, Ben, I agree with what you were saying there. And it can be something as massive as a transgender journey. Mm-hmm. And sorry for using the bloody word journey again and again and again. Do you know what I mean? Or it can be something smaller, like Ben said, just the way you decipher something or sort yourself something out in your head. The clarity to me just makes me go, whoa, and it's like HD. Do you feel like that, Joe?
Yes. Like, I recognise that I'm coming at it from a place of relative comfort and privilege. And, like, I have, you know, I've got a job, I've got clients, I have people supporting me that, so... Like, so many trans people don't have the ability to transition, right? Socially, professionally, or anything else. Like, there are so many blockages or barricades or whatever for people's lives. And, like, I don't know, the people that I work with, so often relationships come up, right? The one person gets sober, the other person either does or doesn't. And then the originally sober person is like, well, I don't think that I can sing in this relationship, actually. It was fine when I was getting pissed, and now I'm not, and it's not fine. And I can see it, right? It's that clarity of being able to see things. And whether it's a marriage, or whether it's the place where you're living, or whether it's your job, or whatever it is, it's seeing that thing that you didn't necessarily want to see. But I think the more, you know, the more sober skills we get, the more sober strengths we develop, like, it's kind of like we only ever see what we can deal with at each time. And staying sober, you know, allows us to work through that. It doesn't mean that every sober person is going to get divorced. It doesn't mean that every person who has those feelings is going, you know, is going to completely explode their life. But it allows them to ask the questions properly, I think.
I guess to play devil's advocate on that, and maybe it's a difficult question, but I think I speak as someone who did get sober, did do some things I was proud of, rather than doing lots of things that I wasn't proud of when I was drinking. But sometimes I still struggle to find that clarity. I lie awake with the big questions in terms of, why am I here? What am I doing? Am I going to do option A, or am I going to do option B? I'm not quite sure. One could maybe argue that I've, rather than drinking to get away from my problems, I've just moved to New Zealand to get away from certain problems instead, which is less stressful, probably more stressful and more expensive than getting drunk, but certainly better for me. What would you say to anyone that's listening that's saying, look, you know, I've tried to do it right, I've stopped drinking, but I still don't have that clarity. I don't have all the answers, because I know certainly how frustrating that can feel sometimes.
Patience, baby. That's what I would say. And I fully understand if you or the other person wants to punch me in the face for saying be patient. It's true. And I think that is a word that, you know, a trans journey, to use the word, is long. It's really fucking long. It takes a lot of time. It's painful. It's expensive. It's hard. And there is only a certain amount of stuff that you can do every day, right? And I think that's another parallel that I draw with my sober journey, in that there is some amazing stuff, and you do make amazing, like, realizations and achievements, everything else. And then there's also a lot of fucking slog, right? There's a lot of just, do you know what? Today was really annoying. Today was really hard. Today was really sad. And I didn't drink, right? I didn't drink, but and I didn't drink. And maybe tomorrow I'll be able to find a tenth of an answer to that question. Because we're not going to be able to answer all those questions. And the, you know, the big, beautiful brains that think of those questions, it's like, all right, great, thanks. Thanks for the question. Literally can't answer it. Let me plug you into a computer somewhere and you can answer it there. But yeah,
I think now, as you can see, I think you're totally right. And I think in this, you know, in this world that we live in, that's very focused on, you know, short-term pleasure and instant gratification, and then we're like, right, you know, I've flicked the switch, give me my reward. And it doesn't work like that all the time.
It absolutely doesn't. And the first time I went to therapy, I was like, right, 6 weeks, can you fix me? And she was like, I mean, well, we don't tend to use the word fix. And also, no, I can't. And, you know, I worked with her for 4 years. It was amazing. But I think learning that patience and, you know, that, what is it, the acceptance prayer or whatever, like accepting where we do have control, where we do have agency and stuff, and accepting that we are going to spend some nights asking ourselves questions, and that it's okay to not have the answers.
I think so. And I think that answers thing is so key. And again, like so many other points in our life, there's a danger. And again, I speak from some painful experience of saying, when I stop drinking, then I'll be happy. When I move to this place, then I'll be happy. Yeah. When I do this, then I'll be happy. And I don't think sobriety, and yeah, this is the like the mic drop moment that less good podcasts steer around, but we go straight in there. You know, it's, I don't believe that sobriety is the answer. I don't believe that it is the key. I think, as you say, it gives us hopefully the clarity and the confidence and the strength to face those demons and fight those battles and understand who we really are. But it doesn't always just give you the get out of jail free card, advance directly to Sober Go and collect your 200 sober dollars.
No.
Or sadly. Euros, if you're or in euros.
Joe, going back to that thing of your transness and your soberness being interlinked.
Yes.
Obviously, this is, you said that the giving up booze gave you the clarity and the kind of, I suppose, the bravery to actually kind of be the person who you were meant to be.
Yeah.
This is your identity. This is who you are. And you weren't living that for however many years it was. Therefore, if you hadn't have stopped drinking, would this ever have happened? Would you always have drank to forget it? Or because it is such a fundamental part of who you are as a person, would it always have happened at some point?
I think it would have done. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, I can remember even like a few months before I did quit, in one of the coaching exercises, we were asked to fill in, you know, to do an exercise. One of the things that I had to complete was the sentence, "I will never be but want to be." And the answer that came was a cis woman, and it came like straight away, right? A cisgender woman. Something and that I want
would,
to
would
be.
Would you mind just defining that, Jay, for someone who's not heard the term?
Yeah,
cis
so cisgender is, it's like the opposite of transgender. It's where the gender that you were given at birth corresponds with the gender that you feel yourself to be. And so that's the one thing that I can never be, right? As a trans person, I just can't. I can be a woman, and I am, you know, definition is tricky, but trans women are women, trans men are men, non-binary people are valid, etc. But yeah, that was the answer that that came, and it came immediately, and it came strongly. So I think that voice was getting stronger and stronger inside me. But I mean, my drinking was getting stronger and stronger as well. Probably or possibly to drown it out, you know, because it's terrifying. And it costs a lot, this truth and this journey. It does come at a price. And so being able to pay that price, you know, those prices, it takes bravery and clarity and knowing, like, somebody asked me fairly early on, they were like, but what if this is a phase? And I was like, maybe it's definitely not. Like, I think this is that's the beauty of sobriety. Like, when you get a sober realization, you're like, okay, all right, this is it. This is a, like, it's not being influenced by a hangover. It's not being influenced by a high. It's not being influenced by anything else. Like, this is coming from deep down inside me. And that's one of the beauties of sobriety for me, is being able to access that.
I just find it so interesting, that whole quote. And I don't know, I'm obsessed with it because I keep coming back to it. But I suppose it is that the first thing you get is that kind of clarity. I don't think people think about, you just phrased it as the price. I don't think people think about that when they are thinking about people who are transgender. You don't, because you know, you're not in, we're not in your shoes.
Yeah.
You don't think about that straight away. But to have, so first of all, you got the clarity from giving up booze. Then you have the kind of bravery that you need to start the process off. But then I suppose it's, you know, the energy, the motivation, all those other things that come that sustain what is actually a really difficult path. To get to somewhere that you want to be and where you should be, but it is a, you know, it's not just in terms of emotional and how you feel about it, but the people around you and society and everything else. So I originally I was a bit skeptical in terms of that. How can those two things be so interlinked? But actually, I do understand now that it's not just, it didn't just give you the impetus to start. Actually, that sobriety has helped
it's given
you
me
get
the strength to continue.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And Joe, do you feel, and as you say, you talk about the journey that you're on. Do you feel, I suppose, firstly, if that journey ever, you know, if you reach what you feel is your destination, would you ever drink again? Or would you ever consider having a drink? Or is this it now forever?
That's a million euro question, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's still too early for me. Like, I'm not comfortable saying never again. And I remember listening to the podcast where Shazza, you had your coming out moment. You were like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna say never again. And you haven't said that, have you, Freddie? I don't think.
No, I still haven't said it.
And for me, for now, I think, like, I'm not just doing it one day at a time. I mean, you know, there are definitely days where it's like, just get to tomorrow, just get to, like, just focus on today. I don't think so. I don't think, for me, that the promised benefits of booze, I don't know if they'll ever outweigh the risks. And I know what the risks are, right? The, you know, they're big. The risks of me going back to booze, because I don't think, I wouldn't want to just have one or two, you know, polite little glasses of wine in nice company. Like, I'd down the bottle and then ask for more, please. And so, yeah, no, I don't, like, I mean, who knows? You know, if I start working with Brené Brown and Glennon Doyle and become dead famous and live in California and start counting my abs and get lots of money, then maybe I'll be like, all right, I'm fine. Now I can drink. Now I can fuck it all up again. But I don't think I want to.
I like that's that you still, really, even after a whole bottle, you still say, please.
Please.
I'll have another one. That's very polite. Please.
Thank you.
Yeah. Joey's so polite.
Dead fucking polite, me. Yeah.
I think, yes. Joe, just what you said there, we're going to have to get you back for a part two, because just that one sentence was like a revelation for me. The whole, imagine if we get everything that we've ever dreamed of and being in the California mansion with the people that we want to be and the person that we want to be and the abs and everything else, and then do we want to fuck it up again? And that made me think, wow, is there, for me personally, maybe for anyone else listening as well, is there that kind of slight self-destructiveness that will always be within some of us? That when we get what we want, we think we don't deserve it. So I know what, I'll just reach for the bottle again. Yes. and then we can start back at square one.
Well, you'll have me to bloody well deal with. I can tell you now. I'm sorry.
I don't want that. Yeah, no, I'm sober, Shaz. I'm sober.
Thank you. Right,
I do
answer.
Not want the Shaz of wrath. That's for sure.
No.
You have been warned. You've been warned. Joe, your story, it's just resonated with all of us chatting to you on the podcast. So thank you. It's just been incredible. You're really kind. You're a really caring person. You're so giving. You are just so bloody lovely. The way you write is amazing. I implore anybody to look you up on social media. Here we go. You ready for this accent? The sober coach.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I've been practicing that. And you've just a public post you posted on your Facebook recently, and I love this, and I just want to end on this. You say, to honour my choice to stay sober every day, I need to continue to build a life that I don't have to hide or run away from. I will.
Full stop.
That is it, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And with that, and with the person you are, not only have you had to and continue to navigate, is that word again?
Well done.
Your sober journey, your trans journey, which, you know, is so inspiring. You help other people, Joe. You give so much to other people, people in your position that are going through a similar journey. Just tell us a little bit about that. who you help, what you get out of it, and where people can find more information about you and what you do.
Oh, well.
Please.
Oh, God, have you got an hour?
No.
Well, that's clear. So I trained as a life and business coach, and then got sober and decided to call myself the sober coach, as in I'm a coach and I'm also sober. But now what I'm doing pretty much exclusively is sober coaching, or doing like life or business coaching with sober people. My support group that I run and maintain is called the Deep Duck Pond. It's on Facebook groups for now. And it's a place for mostly women. We have queer people as well. So this is the non-mixte that I was talking about earlier. Essentially everyone apart from straight white men, SARS boys. But it does definitely open up new levels of confidence and of trust. It's a whole different energy, I find, when the straight dudes aren't around wagging their willies. And now I'm completely lost. What do I do? I can't remember.
So you were talking about...
Yeah.
I'm going to step in now.
Yes.
You were talking about the Deep Duck Pond, and
yes,
it's a really the safe space for the people that you coach and that you look after. You're
yeah.
very nurturing.
Yes. Yeah, I am. I am very nurturing. Yeah. And that for me is what it's all about, right? It's all about sharing the love. And, you know, sometimes a lot of us find it hard to show ourselves love, but we'll find it easier to show it to somebody else. And so that's where, like in the duck pond, that's what people do. And it's all about, you know, grow it. It's not all about sobriety, but it's about the stuff that drove us to drink in the first place, really, and the stuff that, you know, we were running away from or we were hiding from. And I do one-on-one work. I've just finished this evening a document, a guide for what to pack before embarking on an alcohol-free journey.
Brilliant.
So that's going to be on my website, and I'm going to write that fucking book one day. So
amazing.
Yes.
Joe, what's your website, please?
So there's thesobercoach.com or joewalduck.com. They both come together.
Brilliant.
So, Walduck, WALDUCK, and Joe without an E.
Joe, lovely, lovely Joe. It's been an absolute pleasure. We literally could talk for hours, and we have done. From the hearts of our bottoms, Joe. Thank you so much. It's
been
wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you do. And thank you, Shaz, in particular, for your dick video on that boat.
Can you just
pardon?
Please?
Pardon?
Back up. Oh, God.
Oh, no, we've run out of time. Anyway, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Over the Influence. We hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. If you did, please do leave us a rating and a review with your podcast provider. It would be much appreciated. If you feel that you might need a little bit of extra help with your alcohol-free journey, another tool maybe in your alcohol-free toolkit, as we like to call it, just check us out on the website overtheinfluence.co.uk. There are loads of features included within your membership. We've got OTI chat where you can connect with other members. We host masterclasses with people from the alcohol and well-being world to give you more inspiration, to give you more motivation. We've also got our forums within the community where people can just share their wins and we can help each other through the rough days. And as well, loads of free resources on the website, blogs, we have got listener stories, we have got stories from our brilliant community members, many of whom joined us on day one. And they are now smashing and loving alcohol-free life. Take a read of their stories. You'll find them at overtheinfluence.co.uk. As always, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.